This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Matt, you there?
Hey
Matt.
Nick. Hi. Yeah. What's up, buddy?
Hey, sorry to call in. I'm going to have to be remote for the record today. I was going to come into the studio.
Oh, no problem.
But I was driving over there and I'm okay, but I got in an accident.
Oh God. Oh my God. You're okay though? You're okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Just you know, it's just God. People are crazy out there.
I know. It's really the more and more I get behind the wheel, I'm just like, everybody's so crazy.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on here? I'm just trying to commute. I'm just trying to get to my job, you know, and I'm just driving. I'm minding my business. I'm not doing anything crazy.
No.
Just get nailed with a red shell.
No, I've been there, buddy. That
freaking lunatic hits me with a red shell out of
that's
nowhere.
That's so crazy that happened to you, because like truly just like a week ago, I was driving and I was doing great. You know, I was hitting all my turns. I was.
You're a great driver.
Thank you.
This is the thing people don't know. Matt's a really good driver. He's really fast.
And I've driven you in the car before.
Yeah.
Like not very far.
You give me lots
of
rides.
Just a little, just, you know, drop you off here or there.
Right. Then the double dash, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. You hop on the back. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was driving around, grabbing my coins and all that. Some lunatic.
Yeah, I gotta grab some
coins. Yeah, gotta go a little faster. Not much faster, but just a little bit. I try to have 10 at all times. But some lunatic hits me with a lightning bolt, and I'm on the road,
oh,
and I shrank.
God. Yeah.
And it's more dangerous for me out on the road when I'm shrunk. Right?
Because you're tiny. You could get, someone could just flatten you like that.
And I'm trying to jump around, try to speed up the process to get bigger again. It's not working. So I'm just kind of looking like a stupid little shrunk asshole on the road. People are crazy out there.
People are crazy. I was, you know, I was like, okay, I see an item box up ahead.
Okay, great.
Let me just drive through this thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I could definitely use a power up. Why not? Maybe get myself a green shell shield just to like, you know, kind of mitigate some of the damage I'm getting from these other lunatics who are out there on the road. I drive in to this item box, totals my car. This was a few years back. Totals
my
car.
God.
It's a fake item box.
No.
It's one of those decoy item box. Some lunatic dropped on the road just to play a prank on some other driver.
People...
It's wild out
there.
People
are crazy out there. It's just so crazy
on
the road.
People are crazy.
And you know what? This is actually reminding me. I'm actually in a class action lawsuit over something very similar. I was on the road, right? And the reason it's a class action lawsuit is because the person driving the car that did this to me was representative of a business. And so I was driving behind this car. This truck unloads a bunch of fucking slick oil everywhere from a squid.
Oh,
it gets
God.
All over my car. I drive off the road.
It's on your windshield, probably. You can't even see.
And you know what? You know who has to dig me out of a fucking ditch? Lakitu, my mortal enemy, gets on his fucking, he gets his little hook that he usually has his camera dangling from, gets my car out of this ditch, and I have to say thanks to my enemy.
Can I just say, I'm going to say something that's maybe controversial, and like maybe we edit this out of the pod. I've come around on Lakitu.
You okay?
I think Lakitu is like a force for good. I'm like, I'm voting for Lakitu.
Oh, okay.
Let me just
He's
say,
a big
like,
proponent of like
him.
A video surveillance police state, but sure, that's fine.
Yeah. But he's there with that fishing line to pull you out if you go off the
road. He did save my ass. And I did say, you know, when you get in those situations where you kind of just say something and you're like, oh, why am I saying this? This is like a 10-second interaction. He pulled me out. I said, thanks. I'm going to vote for you. And I was like, why did I do that?
But, Matt, I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
though.
No,
this is a thing.
We're gonna vote for him, and he's gonna fix these. Hopefully, he's gonna clean up these streets because everybody's so crazy out there.
Well, hey, someone's gonna do it. It's not gonna be Sleepy Joe
or Cranky Kong, for that matter.
We vroom vroom and honk honk as we discuss driving games and driving in games this week on Get Played. Wow, it's Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played. I'm Nick Weiger, along with Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Get Played, where we're going to begin this week's episode with a correction. This isn't what we normally do here, but no, we're going to correct the record.
We don't do that. It's not something we typically do.
We've never been wrong before is the issue.
We've never said anything wrong. We've never done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And we certainly have never said anything that needed to be corrected.
Right.
But last week on the show, Heather was here last week. Heather's not here this week. She'll be back soon.
Yes. Send her your well wishes. She appreciates them.
Yeah, of course. And so Heather did ask me to make this correction. And I'm just going to... I don't know why I'm nervous. I didn't do anything bad. It's not bad. But last week,
you're in deep shit.
I'm in deep shit. I do feel
yourself out of this pit.
I do feel like I committed a faux pas on some degree, right? So like that's a little egg on my face. I don't think it's bad because all parties involved are aware of what happened.
Yes.
But I just wanted to correct the record. Public record. So last week, Heather mentioned getting a care package of Fortnite goods, and it was misattributed to the Battle Buds because I said that that's where it came from, but I misunderstood.
This is her regular crew, for people who don't normally listen to the podcast, crew of Fortnite compatriots.
Who've all come
together as part of the community of this podcast fandom.
And so I misattributed to the Battle Buds. And said, "Oh, this is from the Battle Buds." Gave it to Heather. Heather thanked them publicly on the show. That's not where it came from. And like, but my confusion was the Battle Buds have done nice things like this in the past.
Of course.
I was sort of like, okay, how did I make the mistake? So I went back to the messages, and the initial message was from a Discord user, Demon Curry, who wrote, and this is what the message says: "Hey, Matt. I wanted to get something for Heather as a get well present. I work with the Fortnite group, and we're coming up with a care package and would like to ship it to her. Do you know the best way we could be able to send this to Heather?" So I organized that, but I took the phrase the Fortnite group to mean the Battle Buds.
This is right. This is on their behalf.
Yes. But in actuality, it was the actual Fortnite, the actual company the Fortnite group, the people behind Fortnite sent this stuff to Heather directly from Fortnite. So the gift was from Fortnite. And the gift was Fortnite stuff. And I just wanted to,
on behalf of Epic, on behalf of someone who works with Epic.
I suppose that is the what it is. Yes, I
got it.
But you can see my confusion with the Fortnite group.
Yes.
I already know about
there's
the existing Battle
Fortnite
Buds
group. But this came from some other affiliation with Fortnite.
And that's
in a more
not
official
me,
capacity.
You know, shirking blame here, okay? I admit I made a big mistake.
Yes.
And I do want to apologize to all involved, but also it's very nice that so many different people involved in Fortnite, whether they're playing the game or they're behind the scenes, care about our good friend Heather Ann Campbell. And we love to see that, don't we here, Nick?
We sure do. But you know, we're not gonna be talking about Fortnite today.
No.
Because Heather's not here.
Yes.
But we do have some great guests in her stead.
We might talk about it.
I guess it could come up.
It could come up. We don't know.
We'll get into it. Our guest today, the host of the Pit Wall Podcast, an F1 podcast for the casual fan, which is right here on HeadGum, Marika Brownlee and Casey Donahue. Marika, Casey, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us. This is huge.
What a treat. All right, let's start here. Do y'all play Fortnite?
I've played it before, and then never played since. I think like the last time I played was before it became like you could still build and shoot, and that was pretty much all you could do. And now my understanding is it's a whole Ready Player One situation or something.
It's essentially the metaverse. I mean, there's a bunch more that you could still build and shoot, but that's still fundamental to the game. But yeah, there's a lot more going on. I also have not played in a couple years now, or since last year. I don't know. I messed around a little bit with it, but I fell off of it after our kind of like designated, you know, Fortnite time. Marika, how about you?
I played a little bit of it when I first got my Switch, I think. And I think I had a match where I got second. And I was like, I'm done. Never again.
That's good. Yeah, that's
this is enough for me.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, go out on a W for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rochelle is in the chat. Our producer Rochelle is in the chat because Nick requested that she not be on the video screen. And
wait a minute, that's the exact opposite of what happened. Make me issue a correction next week. No,
okay, so
Rochelle was like, "I'm just going to hang out, turn her camera off." I was like, "Okay, well, you can stick around if you want, but I didn't want to obligate her."
Yeah. Anyway, no, I believe Nick said scram, but Rochelle in the chat wrote, "Fortnite on Switch is psycho mode."
Yes. Yeah. There's my understanding is it's like it's Rochelle, are you saying that? And feel free to chime in on mic if you like. No obligation. But do you like, is it because of the Switch just doesn't have the horsepower to run the game effectively? Because I've heard that about some other multi-platform games on Switch.
Yeah, it is so much harder to play on the Switch. I started playing on the Switch before getting a PC, and I just cannot believe that I was able to get anything done.
Wow. It looks and plays a lot jankier, right?
It's so ugly on the Switch, and also it's just so difficult. So the fact that you got second place, Marika, is very impressive.
Yeah, I truly don't know how I did it. I think I really hacked the system because I can't build at all. I was like, I'm not going to try.
Yeah, me neither.
Rochelle, are you still playing as Eminem?
No, I'm actually over Eminem now, and I am playing as the Terminator.
Wow. Okay. Oh, wow.
I know, I'm fickle.
You should try playing as Lewis Hamilton, who's a Formula One driver.
Ooh, is he in the game? Is he in Fortnite?
He's in the game. Yeah, I think he's in the game now.
Wow. All right, let's talk about Formula One a little bit. F1 for short. What sparked your F1 interest? How did you get into this sport?
That's a great question for Marika, because Marika kind of got me into it.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And I got into it kind of in the opposite way of most people, where I got into endurance racing first and was watching things like the WEC series, which is like 6-hour, 4-hour races that come on at 5 a.m. And I got into it because Michael Fassbender was racing. And I thought that was really funny.
Right. It's like his passion, right?
Yeah. It's cute.
You should add a T somewhere really in his cute name so he could be Michael Fassbender and win all the races.
Matt,
so
that's really true. Good.
That's really good.
Hey, thanks so much.
I look forward to your correction next week. Michael Fassbender, and then the other guy is the non-George Michael from Wham. Got really into racing. Like that was like, that became his passion. I think he did Formula 3 racing or something like that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many formulas are there? Formula 1, Formula 3?
There's a Formula 2. And
there's a Formula E.
There's a Formula E.
Wow. They just keep going.
Yeah.
So you're into endurance. There, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So you're watching endurance racing.
Yeah, and then I think it was Jake Hurwitz told me about Drive to Survive, which is the Netflix series that kind of goes through Formula One. I was like a little reluctant to get into Formula One. I thought it was too cool.
Yeah.
But then I watched Drive to Survive. I really liked it. And then I started watching the races and was like, this is a great television show with my 20 rich friends that travel around the world and drive cars.
And Casey, so you like but you're someone who's into cars. Like you're something of an auto enthusiast already, and then you get like kind of hooked into the F1 ecosystem via Marika. Is that what happens?
Yeah, pretty much. It was pretty easy for me to get into because I was like, you know, like you said, I was already into cars. I like to drive a fast car myself. I like to drive really fast. I like to think I'm the best driver in Los Angeles. Just from the research I've done with everyone else I've been on the road with. I think I've been doing the best job.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
But one day went go-karting with Marika and a few other HeadGum folks and was really into it. And then they all told me I should watch Drive to Survive. The F1 season had just started. There were like four races in. So I watched like my first race that weekend and I was like, this is my new hobby. This is my new interest. I am on board. Formula One. Here we go.
Okay, so your podcast, you launched the podcast. The podcast is geared towards the casual fan, but like, has your own fandom become less casual as you've watched this? Like, are you like really into it, or are you still kind of like I follow it, but you know, I'm not as hardcore as some other people.
I definitely feel less casual, especially since we talk about every single race into a microphone,
right?
And I don't. necessarily want to sound like I don't know what I'm talking about, although many listeners will tell you that we often don't know what we're talking about.
That isn't,
yeah, we love to talk about it.
That doesn't happen on this podcast. Nobody tells us
to me.
I do think there is like a certain level of technical expertise that we don't have, and I especially don't have, because I literally can't drive a car.
That's so interesting. So like, you don't have like you don't drive a car at all?
No.
No,
but
license.
You're like, you know, I wonder, we got to get you behind the wheel.
Yeah. Well, you're a New Yorker.
You're in New York.
You don't need the car. You don't have to drive. You're too busy folding pizza slices in half.
Walking here.
Going on the crazy subway.
Yeah.
Marika has driven go-karts. I've been on the go-kart track with her.
Yeah, I've driven a go-kart. I'm not as good as Casey. There have been times when we've been on the track and he has lapped me. I don't know what I do wrong, but I can't go fast, apparently. I'm not taking the turns at the right point, at the apex of the curve.
Yeah, you gotta aim for the apex.
When I'm on the road, I'm always aiming for the apex. That's like, I'm always just like, I'm always aware of the apex and where it is and how to get there.
Well, I mean, this is a thing, and we'll talk about racing video games specifically in a bit, but that's always the kind of thing of like that impresses me about people who can do something that seems, you know, it doesn't, like, I can understand more intuitively how a marathon runner can be better at running than me. I understand like what's going on there, but like the technical aspects of driving beyond just like hitting the accelerator, like when you brake and you know, like you were saying, like how you handle the turns, and all the stuff that makes me, you know, not very good at racing video games. I'm really impressed to see that in action. And yeah, we'll get into that. I do have one more question, which is just sort of like a related to F1, but like is this the sport you're into? Like, are you sportos in general? Are there other sports you follow, or is this like the one thing that really has got its hooks into you?
I think for me, this is like the one sport that I've really followed. I like did some fantasy football in college for a while, and like, but in terms of like week to week watching a game or a race, I follow it pretty closely.
Yeah, I'm actually a huge baseball fan. That's like maybe my one sport that has been like the main sport that I've been into. I've been like a casual football fan, casual basketball fan. Like I watch like the NBA on TNT, whatever that game is, but I don't really watch outside of
that. Yeah,
baseball I will watch almost every game. Like I will watch the highlights of every single game every day during the season.
Wow,
that's wild. Who's your team? And also, like, do you have any baseball video games that you like?
I've had a few teams. You know, I grew up in Florida, so I was a Marlins fan. Lived in New York, so I became a Mets fan. My dad's also from New York, and he's a diehard Mets fan. So the Mets are like the family team.
Sure.
I worked for the Red Sox for a bit, so I'm like a fan of them. And now I'm in Los Angeles, and the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, so it's easy to root for them.
Yeah, that's what I like to hear as a and on the video Angelino.
Exactly. And on the video game side, or is MLB The Show? Is there anything that you've enjoyed over the years?
Baseball.
Yeah. I have played The Show on and off for about 15 years. My favorite mode. The thing about like sports games, or particularly, I guess, like I could talk about The Show a bit. There's so many different modes you can play, and
yes,
I feel like I don't play most modes of the game. I love creating a guy and then playing that guy's entire career. Mm-hmm. So I will sometimes start a pitching career, or I'll sometimes start a batting career, and I will play I'll play the whole season, every season, until I break all of the records. And then I go, yep, there it is. Casey Donahue has 100 home runs in a season.
And
unheard
you're
of.
Gonna say until I break all of the rules. That's like, it's cool.
They should let you do that. Do you have we've talked about this with the NBA 2K franchise, and one reason I fell off of that is because the My Career mode has so much shit that is not at all related to playing basketball. Does the MLB The Show have that?
Honestly, I don't know what the last update was, because what the show was really good at that I never really saw in other sports games was you could transfer your career from the old game to the new game. So I could get like the new year, I could transfer my character over, all the stats are there, the whole career is still there. I want to say in like 21, you could not bring over your game from 20. And I had like 6 years worth of MLB The Shows that I was trying to transfer over.
Wow.
I could not. So I have not played since 21. I haven't had the urge to like, all right, let's start a new career and just break all the same records again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the NBA 2K thing is just always like, there'll be like a cut scene after a game, and it'll be clearly like they grab the VO in a locker room with like one take, and it's just like the flattest read of like Eric Gordon being like, man, you were on fire out there tonight, but you got to get me the rock or else there's going to be trouble on the bench. I was like, geez, man, I don't care about this at all. Like, what are we doing here?
Hit come record a hit single, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Dre is having a beats party. You got to be there or be square.
There's nothing really like that in the show. I think I saw like it was either last year's 2K game or the year before where like you could go skateboard around, and I was like, I don't understand what's happening in this show. Or
skateboarding's not basketball.
I don't think there's anyone who buys these games who likes those modes. Maybe small children is the only thing I could think of. Like maybe kids under 10 are just like, oh, that's part of being a major leaguer is I get to do this stuff. But I think honestly, like everyone who is still in on these games, which is still a lot of people, is like it tolerates that stuff because they they accept it as like part of the bargain. But yeah, I think a game could come out with a career mode with none of that, and it would still either do just as well or maybe better.
Yeah.
But you know, with the whatever, there's all this inertia now to just keep things the way they are.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let's talk about some video games generally. It's time for What Are You Playing?
What are you playing? Nick, how do you want to begin? Should I guess?
I think, Matt, why don't you start us off?
Okay.
Because I've talked a bunch here. So Matt, what are you playing?
Okay, well, last week I said I was stuck at a part in Final Fantasy VII, the original. I'm playing it on my Switch, but I was playing through Final Fantasy VII, and over the weekend, since we recorded last, I did beat the game. And
you beat Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, I beat Final Fantasy VII.
Wow, congrats, buddy.
Thank you so much. And it did feel amazing. I did play with the modern conveniences turned on. You know, I was, some of those things, like having your limit, like always full, don't help you as much as you think. Like, yes, like it does make it easier, but you can still get one shot by like enemies that you're not leveled accordingly.
Right.
If you're
turning random encounters off, which yes. I understand why someone would do that. But yeah, you're not doing the leveling that you would need to do to, you know, yeah. To progress.
I thought I knew stuff about the game. I knew some of the big stuff about the game, but I didn't know like how in depth it was about like climate change.
it's a pretty yeah. environmentalist game, and like definitely like, the remake is like that too.
They're like eco terrorists that you're yeah. like that you're playing, and you're trying to save the world from these like this like evil company. And I was like, this rocks. This is fucking awesome. And I just loved it. I thought it was so great. I loved all the characters. I didn't really know Sephiroth's whole deal. Last week I said I was familiar with him, but it turns out that I didn't really know that much about him. And you know, there's this mobile game coming out about Sephiroth where the tagline was, "We still don't know that much about him." And I thought yeah. that was funny initially, and now I agree, actually. I don't know that much about him. So I'm looking forward to learning more. I did start playing through the remake, and I had started the remake when the remake came out initially, having never played the original. And I fell off of it because I wasn't interested. I didn't really connect with it, but now I'm playing through it again, or with fresh eyes rather, with context. And I'm immediately more hooked and more interested because I'm like, oh, it's this. I know
yeah,
this.
Yeah, naturally, yeah.
Yeah, so this is, I'm having a blast with that. But a new game came out last week too that everyone's talking about right now. Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown.
That's right.
I'm playing that on my Switch. And Nick, I'm loving it, dog. It fucking rocks. It is so good. It is. It's just that type of like, I don't know. It's a Metroidvania, so it's a different type of game for the Prince of Persia series. But everything about it's really, really good. I just got to a part where I have some new abilities. I have some new weapons, and that once you start getting those upgrades in any Metroidvania, you feel like $1 million, and you're like, okay, now I can go back over here and do this. I can do this now. I'm zipping around. I'm having a blast. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Now I was reading that yeah. one thing this one bit of one innovation this game has is that it's pretty easy to track where you could because a big thing like you know like in like the Ori games, for instance,
yes.
like you get a new upgrade and you're like, OK, now I can get through this kind of door or I have something that can grapple onto this sort of platform, this sort of hook. But then you're like, wait, where did I see that hook before? Like, you know yes. what I mean? Like, but this has some sort of it's something in the map screen or whatever that just like makes it really clear where you can what new areas you can explore with this new ability.
Well, there are two modes. There's like a guided mode, which has icons on your map that'll mm-hmm. show you like, oh, you're supposed to be going this way, or oh, this door is open now, you can go over there, you have an ability to unlock this area now or whatever. But then there's also the explore mode that has that stuff turned off, so you do have to like either remember, or in your map you can I think they're called memory shards. You can use a memory shard and it takes like a screenshot and adds it to your map to be like, oh, there's a chest up there that I can't get because I don't have double okay. jump yet.
Right.
So I'll mark it on my map with because you can leave markers on the map, just like generic markers, but you could literally take a screenshot and it shows you the thing that you haven't gotten yet. And that's really, everyone's talking about this feature.
Yeah,
it should be in every game. It is so
yeah,
good.
That sounds great.
It's such an innovation. But it's a lot of fun, and it's different. It's a different type of Prince of Persia game in another way, because you're not playing the Prince of Persia. You're not him. You're a guy that's his name is Sargon, and he's an immortal. There's this group called the Immortals in the game, and which my cat's scratching something. He's being so crazy next to me. He's just like scratching, going nuts. But so you don't play. You play a Sargon who is in this group called the Immortals, and you're the kid. The prince has been kidnapped, and you're on the search for hunting the prince. But there's all this crazy stuff going on. all this weird time stuff and all this like just crazy, you know, magic stuff. It's really good. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm putting hours into that, and then hopping back in on the Final Fantasy VII remake, and kind of just alternating my time between both.
You're a madman. I applaud you for finishing Final Fantasy VII.
Thank you.
The OG. That's impressive.
I loved it, and I feel Final Fantasy VII pilled. I was like, am I gonna go see Advent Children in theaters? A movie no one likes.
Can I ask what was your final playtime?
It was something around, I can check actually. I think, because it'll tell me at least rudimentary, or you know, an estimate in the Switch menu. I do have my Switch right here because
I remember that taking me 60 hours on the PlayStation 1, but also I spent a lot of time breeding chocobos.
Okay, I did it in 30 hours. It took me 30 hours.
Sure.
Which is not nothing. I didn't think it was. I thought I was going to get through it faster, honestly, and that's why I started it before I jumped into the remake. But 30 hours is about right. If you skip, I didn't even meet Yuffie.
Yeah, it's a pretty substantial game. Did you meet Vincent?
Yeah. I don't think so. He's in the coffin, right?
Actually don't remember where he comes from, but he's the other unlockable character.
I didn't get any of the bonus characters. I was going straight through.
You're just mainlining this bad boy.
Yeah, and I did it. I got it right in my veins. I loved it.
Good. Good for you. Marika, what are you playing?
So at the moment, I'm not playing any games. I'm kind of waiting when I know I'm going to have a chunk of time to sit down and play Spider-Man 2, which I'm really excited about.
Did you play the originals, I assume?
I actually played Miles Morales first when I got a PS5, and then went back and played the remastered Spider-Man.
Hell yeah.
It was great. Loved them. Like, one of the few games I've actually finished, because I'm a very impatient gamer, I think. I'm not a person that will sit down and like grind through stuff. If I like can't beat something, I'll try three times and I'll be like, I'm done. I'm walking away.
John Locke style.
So I've not finished many games, but those two I did, loved them, cried at them.
They're great stories.
Yeah, they're really good stories. So I'm really excited for two. I have two Stardew Valley games going at the moment that I've truly abandoned for a few years because I also have a really unhealthy way of playing that game and had to back away.
I can relate to that. What would describe it for me?
So the first one I started on my computer and I got pretty far. I hadn't finished it. But the mines just like killed me. I don't like doing the mining stuff. And it got to the point where I was just like on my computer with like a Wikia tab open of like, I have to do this thing. I have to like farm this on this day and like constantly tracking that. So I stopped. And then when I got the Switch, I started a new farm. And then I was like very determined to marry the doctor as quickly as possible, but also be best friends with the Shane who like breeds chickens or whatever. So I like accomplished that. But then it was the same thing where I was like sitting with my Switch and then my computer and like just constantly looking stuff up. And I was like, this is a job.
Yeah. 100%. Well, cause you're trying to min max your, you know, your crop yield or whatever. Yeah. And like there that you can get really, really into it. Like just like how you position your sprinklers and which livestock you're raising. It's like also like what days you go to the mines and everything. Like you get really super into it.
And I was like, you know, I was like, I gotta make jam on this day. I gotta constantly be making jam so I can sell the jam. And it's gotta be like these crops because that's the most money I can make. It's a whole thing. So eventually when I feel like I can return to it in a calmer manner, I'll finish one of those games. And I also have an Oculus and got really into Beat Saber during the pandemic. And need to hop back into that. And like I modded it so that I could play custom games, but then it got kind of fucked up, so I think I need to reset my Oculus and start over. Okay.
I see.
It's a lot of tech problems.
Our friend Mars Melnick, I know, got super into Beat Saber and was something of a Beat Saber evangelist to me in the past. Like, is that part how you got your way in, or did you find your own way in?
Yeah, it was definitely through Mars. She at like one point had brought, it was like when she just started getting into Beat Saber, she brought her PS4 VR setup to like the office, and so we were playing that, and I thought I would be really bad at it because I was really bad at like Guitar Hero, but I'm actually really good at it.
That rocks.
And then I started, she like told me which VR headset to get and stuff, and so I started playing during the pandemic.
I've only messed around with it a little bit because I get disoriented and sweaty, but like, is it like a workout for you?
Yeah, totally. It's like it takes a lot, and there's like different modes. I usually turn off the walls that they add. I know that Mars really likes playing maps with walls. It's like it just makes you like move around a lot, and I'm just like, it's too much.
Yeah.
I like to be still and just move my wrist really fast.
Right. I'm with you. Casey, how about you? What are you playing?
Funny enough, I just finished playing Spider-Man 2.
Wow. How about that?
I loved it. It was so good. So much fun.
I'm excited.
I love the, these sandbox games. I've played a lot of them, but this was the first time where I was like, took a different strategy, I guess, playing it usually I'll like make a beeline to the main story mission and just do all the main story stuff, get that out of the way, and then just like fuck around. But this time I was like, I'm gonna, as things pop up on the map, I'm gonna do them and take care of them. So then by the time I got to, you know, the later stages of the game, I was like overpowered and like had all the suits already, had every like gadget unlocked, and was just like ready for a battle, basically. But that was I thought, like, I don't know if, like, you know, the Grand Theft Autos of the world delineate their missions the way that they do on Spider-Man, but playing that way I thought was like very satisfying. It kind of like helped feed the story a bit as I was like doing other side missions and like helping neighborhood people out. Kind of made me feel like I am the friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Yes, right. That was my big thing when it was new. Like I played it like when it came out, and I was like, it really simulates what it would feel like to have that push and pull to be, you know, between one of two people, between being Miles and Spider-Man and being Peter Parker and Spider-Man. Like that's such a tough, you know, it's the thing that they struggle with the most, like having time for both to exist as both. I loved that part of the game.
Yeah, it was awesome. Played that. And then last week I finished the story mode for MK1. I don't know if you guys are Mortal Kombat guys.
I have not played the modern Mortal Kombats, but I know people are pretty positive about Mortal Kombat 1.
They've they're really fun. And the stories are the storyline is crazy. It's
right, because they try to like make all the lore make sense, right?
Yeah,
that's one of the things they do. They just like it's all canon, so we're just gonna try to figure out how to make this work.
Yeah, and the so like MK11 ended with I can't remember the name main character's name. I want to say Kronos was her name. She was like a time person who can bring characters from the past, and now they're fighting the characters from the present. And it's all just like a way to get, like, you can have Sub-Zero in his original costume, or you can have him like in the story mode version. And so then MK1, the end of that game ended with them like resetting the timeline. And MK1 is like, all the characters are young again. But now there's like, because there's multiple timelines. So now, this was a way to get like every other version of every other character. So it's like Scorpion with Sub-Zero powers. There's Kano with a Johnny Cage attitude.
Got it.
It's really, really fun. And the story mode, I've been looking forward to for like the past like three Mortal Kombat games. And then the DLC also continues the story. So now I'm like waiting for the DLC story to come out so I can keep playing the bonkers story.
Do you have one? Is the way the story mode works, do you have one character you pick to take your way through it? Or are you like, does it branch off and you're playing different characters in different scenarios?
You're playing different characters in different scenarios.
It kind of
works the way that like the original movie works, where there's like they're going around doing stuff and then they run into a guy and then you got to fight him. And then there's like a one liner when you beat the character, and you don't kill him. There's no fatalities in the story mode because they all get to come back and fight. It's a very Looney Tunes rules the way it works. but it's really fun. Sometimes you're two characters together and you get to choose which character you want to fight. Cyrax or whoever the fuck you run into in a laboratory. It's great. A lot of fun. Just played that. And that's what I'm playing.
I love it. Well, I'll talk a little bit about my Baldur's Gate 3 replay. I'm about 60% of the way through Act 2.
Oh, wow.
On Tactician on hard mode.
You're flying.
I'm depraved. Yeah. I love this game. It's so good, and I'm having so much fun on my second campaign.
You're gonna lap me.
I'm seeing stuff that I did not see the first time through, and I'm re-experiencing stuff with the context of the full story and understanding it more. Like all of the stuff that is seeded about Ketherick Thorm, who is kind of the Act Two big heavy present throughout the story. But there's so much of it, so much earlier than I clocked, because the game is just so dense, and you don't understand that this is pointing towards something that's like a key story or going to be a key plot pivot. You maybe think like, oh, this is just flavor text, or this is just something about some side mission that I'm going to find out about. But when you really understand the gravity of it, it's extremely effective. I think the combat has been really satisfying on Tactician. So there's this one pretty difficult sequence where you have to defend a portal that one of your party members is going through to take care of a task. I'll talk about it vaguely, but it happens towards the middle of Act Two. And it's most of the way the game plays is it's just like direct, like, you know, you're kind of trying to pick off individual, like lower the enemies' numbers. They're usually more enemies than your party, and you're trying to winnow their numbers and just kind of control the chessboard, the lance board, if you will, but this one in particular, you have to defend a target, which happens a few times. And it's tricky, especially on Tactician, because the enemies hit so hard and this thing has like a very low health pool. So if the enemies hit this like with like three or four arrows, you're just cooked. So it was one of those things where, because this game presents like kind of problems, not puzzles, which is not unique to it, Tears of the Kingdom, the same sort of thing. But like there's a lot of games that have this approach, but like there's not like just one way to solve it. But when you figure out your way to solve it, you feel like a genius, which to me is kind of like a magical like game design thing of like, for me, what I figured out was there is an area effect spell called Darkness. And what that does is it prevents anyone, you know, it blinds anyone who's within it. It's basically just like a big black cloud that goes over the landscape. So anyone that's within it is blinded, and then they can't do ranged attacks out of it or into it. So I was like, okay, I can use Darkness, which I'd usually use on like where the enemies are standing. I can use it on my own play space on the portal so no one can attack this with missile attacks. And I'm obviously not a thing that only I figured it out. But once I figured it out, I just had like total command of the scenario that was giving it a little bit of struggle. And it was like so satisfying to overcome that. And it's like the whole thing of just like, you know, the most satisfied you feel with something is when it's like just at the edge of your competency. And I feel like so many other games, I guess in a more general sense, this game treats you like an adult, which was also a thing we like about the FromSoft games. It's like this in so many games, you would have an NPC. You have the dream visitor in this one, who's like a companion that's in your ear sometimes. Like the dream visitor would be like, like, perhaps you can protect that portal somehow. And then the next turn, like, I wonder if a darkness spell would work on that portal. And then, like, cast darkness on the portal to protect it from the enemies. You know what I mean? It's like they wouldn't give you the time to struggle and to overcome it and to figure out your own solution. And that's not only the only way to solve it. You know, you can put a wall of fire on the battlefield or whatever, or you can just sort of power through with raw horsepower from your heavy hitters. But again, it's just like a very satisfying scenario because you have different approaches, and whenever you figure out whatever yours is, it really hits. The other thing I want to talk about was our mutual friend Eva Anderson is playing through this game, past guest of the podcast.
Love this.
And she's been texting me about this. Like Heather, she took the genocide route.
Oh God.
And completely eliminated the tieflings in the grove. But the thing about this is, like, spoilers for early in Act One. If you take this route, if you let the goblins come through and enable them or assist them in going into the druid grove and taking out all of the druids and all of the tieflings, they also kill all of the children, which is a thing that most games just don't even address. Like, Spider-Man obviously is not going to have kids involved, but, like, like, kids can't really come into harm. But certainly even something like Grand Theft Auto is like, we're not even going to open that can of worms. We're not going to let you do a drive-by shooting and take out a bunch of kids because we're going to get in so much trouble, and all of a sudden Joe Lieberman is going to be having hearings on the Hill.
Yeah.
So, but this game is like, you know what? We are talking about the consequences of your choices, and there is a unique moral horror to harming children, and we're going to make you confront this. Like, if you allow this evil to come through here and you are on its side, then yes, you have to deal with a pile of toddler corpses, and that's your fault. You did that. And that's like the sort of thing where, again, the game kind of like treats you like an adult and makes you understand that, like, look, I'm not in favor of that, but I'm in favor of that being a possibility in this medium. And I think it makes the storytelling, you know, that much more effective, that you know that these sorts of things are possible. Anyway, it's my favorite game of all time. I love it.
Wow.
All right. Let's talk about driving games a little bit.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I want to start here because Casey, we floated this topic to both of y'all. It seemed like a natural fit. Casey, I know this about you. You have a whole setup in terms of your own personal, racing video game experience.
That's right. I've got a sim rig and I'm very proud of it.
Wow.
I love it.
I'll show you. Here's my steering wheel. It is a
look
at hardcore piece of hardware. It's like the same size and weight of like a Formula One racing wheel.
Wow.
And I gotta wear gloves when I drive it.
Oh my God.
Oh wow.
For grip?
For grip. So I recently updated my rig, and I'm very, very excited about it.
Talk us through your hardware real quick. Like, what are you playing on? What's your platform of choice? And then you have the wheel. Do you have pedals? What's your whole rundown?
Yeah, I play on PS5. I don't have a PC, which is like, if you want to be like a competitive sim racer, you really need the PC to play iRacing, which is like the main competitive sim racing game. I cannot play iRacing, so I play Gran Turismo. That was like kind of my in to playing sim racing. And I only really started sim racing after getting into F1 through Marika. And like we went go-karting a couple times. I tried to make that like my new hobby. And I learned how expensive it gets. And also
right.
The guys who run the go-kart
place. Call them out.
Yeah, the it's K-1. Called K1 in Burbank. The teenagers that work there, they don't seem to take racing as seriously as some of us.
Wow.
So I was like, I need something else. And then, so I got like an entry-level wheel and pedals. And started playing Gran Turismo, or I started playing the F1, the EA Sports F1 game, and it is impossible to play if
so
you've never
hard.
Done sim racing. Marika has tried.
I can't express how hard this game is.
Wow.
I picked it up. So I have the 2021 version, and after you sent the invite, I was like, hey, I'll try again, you know? It can't be that bad. And I, within 10 minutes, was like, I'm out of here. doesn't give you instructions at all.
Yeah, they don't. They do not tell you how to drive the car.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But Gran Turismo does a good job of teaching you basically like how to drive a car like a race car, like finding the apex, finding the racing line. So I started with like entry level wheels and pedals. I have since upgraded to a Fanatec system, which is what they're like showing off at the beginning of the Gran Turismo movie. And I was like, this is what I need. And honestly,
I need this.
It makes such a huge difference, like updating the equipment, because it's like a whole machine, and I also got like this upgraded power supply that makes it as realistic as possible with the feedback that you get in the wheel. And that's why I need the gloves, because it's like steering a real car.
Wow.
And when you're like just doing laps and laps and laps, and you're like, you know, 20 laps in, like you feel it in your hands and like in your forearms,
right?
And then the pedals I've recently upgraded to are called load cell pedals, specifically with the brake, and that's designed to, you know, you program it on the computer how much pressure is 100% on the pedal, and you want the consistency when you're taking the turns, so because like so much of it is like muscle memory,
and right?
So you want to know exactly how much I got to give on the brake, and know exactly which gear to shift down to, that'll give me optimum speed on the exit of the turn, and that's how you shave seconds off your time.
Yeah, that's ultimately how I fail at go-karting.
So speaking of someone who doesn't, you know much about F1 or racing in general, F1 course is not like a NASCAR course, right? It's not like an oval that you just drive, you know, you're only turning left the whole time. There's all sorts of like different courses have different orientations and different turns that they take. So I imagine that's a big part of the racing experience.
Yeah. And I think the Formula One drivers, like Casey was saying, they do have this like crazy muscle memory for all of the tracks, especially if they're ones that like they frequent every season. And there've been like videos of them taking tests where it's like,
it's crazy.
They like hear
just listening
the engine and like the brakes and know which track it is based off of like just the sound it makes, or like, yeah, it's crazy.
And they practice on racing simulators.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Because you mentioned the Gran Turismo movie, which you've covered on your podcast, and which I still haven't seen, but I've heard positive things about. Matt, did you see the Gran Turismo movie?
I haven't seen it. My mom loved it.
It's on Netflix.
It's good.
I think a lot of people are seeing it. Yeah. Yeah. I know y'all liked it, but like I'm like, does that, like that's an element in that movie, and that's part of how it's marketed, is just like, yeah, real drivers are training themselves on on video games.
Yeah, there is a bit of it in the movie. The movie's based on a true story. Marika, what's his name? I can't remember.
Jan Marlborough or something like that.
Yeah.
Who did this, basically.
Yeah, he competed in a Gran Turismo tournament, and they had like a contest to get sim racers into real cars. So it's like kind of his story, and it kind of, although like the equipment they're using is like modern.
Yeah.
All the real racers in the movie, they you know, it's like, oh, this is a gamer, this is real life, you can't cut it. Well, fast forward to today, Max Verstappen, who is maybe the best race car driver in the world today, he's current two-time F1 world champion. He is like an advocate for sim racing and is like, this is the next generation of race car drivers will be made through sim racing.
I think he's also racing the Daytona. I don't know if it's the 500 or what, but he's sim racing it like as an actual competitor.
Wow. Yeah, he's the number one real driver in the world, and he's also the number three sim driver in the world.
That's wild.
That's crazy. I just looked up the real
guy.
That's
like Kevin Durant being like the best at NBA 2K. It doesn't really make sense in my brain.
I know it feels like it doesn't make sense, but once you like are using this stuff, like using the wheel and the pedals, it is a simulation of real driving. Like the physics in the game are as realistic as possible.
Oh yeah, I guess Max Verstappen won at iRacing 24 Hours of Daytona.
Wow.
I just looked up the real guy that the Gran Turismo movie is based off, Jan Martinborough, and he's younger than me, and I want to die. They made a movie about a guy younger than me. That fucking sucks.
Get used to it.
Yeah. It's going to happen to me now for the rest of my life. Yeah.
So you mentioned, okay, so you've been talking about Gran Turismo. Is that kind of like your game? Like, have you been into the Gran Turismo series since back in the day, or is this all recent because is this all recent because of your F1 fandom?
I had tried playing Gran Turismo back in the day on a controller, and I was so used to like Grand Theft Auto car physics and driving mechanics.
That very arcadey.
When I tried to like do it on a simulator with a controller, I would just crash on turn one every single time. So I like put it away, hadn't revisited it until I got, you know, into racing like as a proper interest, enthusiast, hobby sort of thing. Learning the Gran Turismo teaching me the mechanics of how to drive the car opened me up to wanting to play other games. And so I mostly play the F1 game because that's like why I wanted to start doing it, was because I wanted to drive those formula style cars and do the tracks that I watch all of my best friends drive. I like playing Gran Turismo, but they don't really have, they have like super formula cars, which are similar to the Formula One cars, but they don't have the top speed. But it is fun to hop on to Gran Turismo and drive like a Prius or like my dad's old Corvette or something like that. That's where I get the joy out of Gran Turismo, is just like having fun driving these other different kinds of cars. And then the F1 game, it's like I am watching my times, I am trying to figure out how to get faster, where I'm slow in the corners, that sort of thing.
And so maybe this is jumping ahead a little bit too, but like, how do you feel about a party racer, like a Crash Team Racing or like a Mario Kart or something? Like, obviously that's very different. It's not real at all. It has no, as some basis for driving. You can use a wheel kind of for Mario Kart, but do you enjoy playing those at all, or is it only like if it's like if it can feel real?
No, I love Mario Kart. I don't play it as much as I would like, but I do have fun. I've never tried playing it with the wheel. I don't know how that would work. And I've tried recently playing it with keeping in mind like the the race line, like that sort of stuff, brake in a straight line.
Yeah, the race line for like
I should not be using the brake on Mario Kart.
Right.
I'm going to get a blue shell no matter what. So it's like, but I do love them. It's very fun.
Because the Wii Mario Kart like had the wheel, you know, peripheral that you used, and that was how you controlled that one. Marika, how about you? Like, do you like the as a non-driver? You messed around with the F1 games, but like, do you like a more arcadey racer? Do you like something that's a little bit, goofier, less connected to reality?
Yeah, I think probably just in terms of my experience with racing games and like all the different types that I've like had a chance to play or like watched people play, because I was like a big Let's Play watcher for a while. I feel like I definitely gravitate more towards the like arcade racers. Like Mario Kart, I'd say, is probably the one that I've played the most, and like during the pandemic was like doing tournaments and stuff with coworkers, and that was a lot of fun. And I actually like, I would say when I started playing Mario Kart, even though I enjoyed it, I just could not steer correctly. And, like, I think I would like accidentally basically act like I was driving, but like be playing with the like actual joysticks, but I would like turn my hands for no reason. So I got better at that. I learned how to drift. I got good. And so that now that's like fun to play, but I haven't really played it recently. And I don't know, I think like even though GTA is not a racing game, like they came out with their like online, I think it was like the Cunning Stunts DLC or something, which was like this crazy DLC where there were just like a ton of tracks for races that were like tubes that would go into the sky, and you could like race.
I see these,
like
I see these constantly on
races.
The bottom half of TikToks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all I see.
Yeah. No, I know what you're talking about. But yeah, so I feel like that is maybe like one of the best things that was added to that game. And those were just, I had like played it a few times online. I didn't really love playing online myself, but I've amassed like hours and hours of watching people play it over the years, and it was very enjoyable to watch those.
Matt, how about you? Like, let's talk driving games a little bit, because I know we've gotten into this in the past, but do you have any all-time favorites when it comes to the racing side of things, and also it just generally about cars in video games, because we've experienced good and bad versions of that in like the open world experience.
Yeah, I was just about to say that like Grand Theft Auto 5 has like great driving in it, like as far as like, you know, not realistic, but like it feels good to drive the car.
It's fun. It's fun to drive the game.
In pretty much all the Grand Theft Auto games, actually, they figured that out. When games like
from 3 on, one and two. I mean, people are polarized on those. I mean, I never really liked how the first couple Grand Theft Autos and controlled this sort of top down perspective. Mm-hmm. But I think from 3 on, they've been once they went to 3D, they've been very playable.
It's, I mean, it's silly to say that they got it right. It's like the main thing that you do. It's in the title of the game.
But it has to work, or else those games don't work.
It has to. And so I love that. We've talked about the Batman Arkham Batmobile. I don't love it. I love Mario Kart and Crash Team Racing. I will be a Jack X combat racing defender.
There you go.
That I loved that. I was just a big fan of the Jack and Daxter franchise, and I loved that game. I thought it was really fun.
I thought it was awesome because yeah. You already mentioned Crash Team Racing,
yes.
But that era when everyone was trying to make the Mario Kart killer,
yes.
And now everyone's given up on it, and they'd be like, well, Mario Kart will just be this hegemony, and that'll be the only kart racer that's out there. But it's just like I really liked when everyone was trying their own version of a mascot racer.
Yeah.
A lot of those are fun.
The Donkey Kong Racing was one of my favorites.
Donkey Kong Racing, I just tried it for the first time actually at my friend Connor's house, and I was so bad at it.
Before you go too far down this road, because I'm looking forward a week, and you're given another correction. The game is Diddy Kong Racing.
Diddy Kong Racing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay. It's all right,
Casey. Don't fuck me up like that, dude. Okay? You don't see me going on your show and saying that the tires on the cars are triangles. Okay?
You're welcome to.
The tires on the cars are triangles.
That's insane. Okay.
But I do like some racing games. But all of my love of like racing games comes from my love of like the Fast and Furious franchise, and also in tandem with when I was a kid, my mom worked for Mitsubishi Motors. So
that's right. You mentioned this.
I've mentioned this before, and she would get to she worked in like the corporate office here in Southern California, and because of this job, she got to have like a new car every like 6 months. So instead of doing what she should have done, which was like have a more sensible car for a single mom and three children, she would get us whatever car we picked. Because she's awesome. She was like the cool. She's so cool. And she was young. She was like, oh, yeah, you guys want the Lancer Evo 6, huh? And we're like, yeah, we get the Evo 6. We love how the Evo 6 looks. And so she would drop us off at school in an Evo 6. And we like would have to like have grocery bags in our lap instead of the trunk because there was no trunk space. But like that was such a fun thing. And so when playing these types of games, I often will go back to like that style of car, like a Mitsubishi. The Eclipse was also big. We loved the Eclipse. But we eventually got a Montero Sport. We did eventually get a more sensible car because my mom was like, this is ridiculous. You guys can't pick the car anymore. But I would play Need for Speed Underground because that was also, that was like what, 2003, 2004 or something. So like, car modding culture sort of like kind of really took on at that point. Cause like the show, like Pimp My Ride was on TV and stuff. And so I would just watch, Exhibit just massacre these cars and just like ruin everybody's life.
Make them undrivable.
Yeah. Put a washing machine in the car and like, that's like bad. You don't want that in there. But I liked the customization in that game and then just playing the cars and like the soundtracks in those games were pretty good. But I also really enjoyed Forza Horizon 5, which came out maybe 2 years ago at this point on Xbox. And I got pretty into that game when it came out on Game Pass and was just playing it for a while, just like nonstop. I loved just getting in some races like online. That was really fun. I don't have a wheel or anything, so I was playing on the controller. But that's like, those are like the games that I really love. But I also, you're mentioning seeing some racing in person at the start of this. I grew up, Nick's a Long Beach guy also. Nick, you ever go
The Long Beach Grand Prix.
The Long Beach Grand Prix, dude. It's
huge. It was a thing I the Grand Prix is every year.
Yeah.
And I just sort of like took it in stride and had no idea it was like this huge like event in motorsports.
Yeah. I went for the first time last year and I had a blast and I will be going again this year.
I'd love to go because I haven't been in so long. You used to... they used to give like free tickets to it in like the newspaper. So like you would just buy like five newspapers and then we're all going for free. And we would just go. And the thing that they had there, I don't know if they still do it. I'm sure they must. But they had a celebrity race that famous people would do the course. And one of the years it was like, it was such a mixed bag. First of all, one of these people shouldn't have been doing it, but is an enthusiast, and I understand. one of the years it was like Carlos Mencia, Adam Carolla, and Keanu Reeves. And Keanu Reeves fucking won.
Of course he did.
Rocks. And that's what, that's what you want to win in that scenario.
He's going to win.
Have you seen him driving John Wick?
Yeah. But I was like, you don't have to be here, man. Like, this is... Look who else is here. You don't have to do this. And this was in between, obviously. John Wick hadn't come out. I think all three Matrix movies had come out. So he was like in that sort of in-between era. He was at the Lake House. He was at Scanner Darkly. You know, he wasn't really popping.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, again. But it was great. It was a thrill of a lifetime to see him. He looked like $1 million, too, in the fucking in the gear.
Let's can we, just because you mentioned Pimp My Ride, and I did watch that show back in the day. Is everyone aware of the Pimp My Ride PS2 game?
No,
I'm aware of it.
It's one of the most bizarre things. I've never played it, but I have watched videos of it. And let's watch a little bit of this if I can get this working. This is the Ghost Ride the Whip mini game that's in that's in the PS2 game with Exhibit's likeness. Let's see if this works.
He has such like a Yosemite Sam stance.
Yeah. This guy's walking next to a car as the car is rolling down in neutral.
It's just during a crip walk, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is
little text. I guess there's like a rhythm pimping.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a rhythm game element of like doing dance moves in coordination with your car rolling down the boulevard.
I was ready to laugh.
Truly
at
bizarre.
This. I think this is good.
It's kind of awesome.
I think I didn't understand the concept of ghost riding. Yeah. I thought it was like you had to be on top of the car or something, but he's just like walking beside it.
He's like,
yeah, I guess that's
I would
how
say
it works.
As far as how close he could be to the car, he could be a lot closer. He's so far away from the car.
He could be a lot.
He's in a complete different lane.
Yeah. Maybe that's more impressive the further away you get.
Yeah.
That could be part of the challenge.
But I've thought about getting a racing. I always think about getting stuff. Like I always want to get like a fight stick. I don't play like that. I don't play like fighting games like that. I always want like the wheel and seat and pedal and stuff. And I'm like,
you like getting stuff, there's a lot of stuff you can get.
Okay, see, that's what I love to hear. Now I'm in. That's good. See, I like getting stuff.
Your rig doesn't have the seat though, right?
I do not have the seat. I want the seat, but to get the seat, I would then need a separate monitor to mount on the rig. Right now I pull out a folding chair and I sit in front of my big TV.
Yeah, that's better.
And I play that way. But also, since I've upgraded the drive system, like the stand that I had that I originally got with the like cheap entry level wheel is not strong enough for the drive system. Like there's too much power. It's too wobbly. And it's like, it starts to come loose from the stand. So now I'm like, okay, now I need to upgrade the stand.
Yeah.
So might as well get the chair.
But you don't want to be like that guy you want to be like that guy from the, I think you should leave sketch where the steering wheel flies off when you're driving it.
That's exactly what I don't want to be like.
But Nick, I don't know if I know you two mess around with like too many racing sims or like anything like that. Do you like to get behind the wheel in the car? You don't
like
driving.
I don't like driving. This is the thing. It's like I can drive a car. Yeah. I am a licensed driver and I will drive by necessity, but I really don't like driving. Like it makes me anxious. I also just like get really into, I just get really frustrated at just urban design because I'm like, this is such this is so inefficient to have so much space for, you know, lanes of highways and for surface parking. It's just like, you know, cities should be for people, not cars. Mm-hmm. I generally don't like, and so when I'm doing something escapist, I don't want to be driving in it. So for instance, Cyberpunk 2077, which also initially had very bad driving, they fixed the physics to some degree. It works a lot better in the 2.0 version. And honestly, in some of the earlier updates, but like I did not like the driving in that game. I used the motorcycles because it was like the most the easiest to maneuver, the easiest to corner. And then also there's a fast travel in that game that I would just basically use all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could just skip through all the driving segments. So like generally how I'm playing games, like I want to avoid driving it unless I have to. But that said, there are some racing games that I've liked, and they tend to be a little bit more arcadey.
Mm-hmm.
You already mentioned Diddy Kong Racing, but that was a game I got really into on the Nintendo 64. I 100%ed that game for some reason, the single player mode. The Mario Kart franchise, obviously. There was this game on the NES called RC Pro-Am, where you like raced little. I didn't realize you were racing RC cars until I was older. I was just like, oh, that's what the cars look like. But I was playing as a little kid. Funny. And I really liked it. And I thought it was really, it like the maneuverability felt really good. It had like cool, it was like Excitebike. It had like cool power-ups you could like roll over. I like that sort of shit. And ramps and stuff. But also the F-Zero franchise, which has been kind of dormant since I think the GameCube era. And, you know, another Nintendo franchise that's like not their one of their top tier ones, but I think it's just like all those games are pretty awesome. I know they came out with F-Zero 99, but it's just like, give me a proper F-Zero on the Switch or the Switch 2. You know, why not?
Yeah.
The other thing I want to talk about relatedly, and when I really do like racing games, and maybe this goes back to, the original topic we had here, which was when we're talking about the racing rig, when we're talking about having a wheel and pedals. I really like an arcade cabinet where you can drive the thing, or ideally you can sit down, or like in, Super Hang-On, you can climb on top of a motorcycle.
Yes.
Like I love stuff like that. I remember this, the first one I experienced was Pole Position, which was basically had like Atari 2600, it was slightly better than that, but like, it had like 8-bit level, sub 8-bit graphics, but you could control it with a wheel and pedals if memory serves. And like, that was like an amazing experience as a video game. And so anytime something is like that, I mean, like if there is an arcade cabinet, you can sit down at a barcade or Dave and Buster's or something. I tend to gravitate towards that.
Yeah, I feel like Crazy Taxi was probably my first experience with any sort of racing game.
That's a great shout out. That's a game we did an episode on Crazy Taxi back in the day. And yeah, that game is, I did play a lot of, actually that's another one. I did play that a lot of that on Dreamcast.
Yeah, I feel I only ever played it at my local CC's Pizza
in
Savannah, Georgia. I probably also didn't play it. I probably was just like sitting watching the demo. But I have a fondness towards Crazy Taxi for sure. And
Cruisin' was one,
Cruisin' USA.
Cruisin' is great.
Loved Cruisin' USA. I don't know if we want to count it, but as far as arcade racers go, the pod racing game.
Oh,
yeah. Episode 1 racer. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Specifically in an arcade where you get to sit in the cockpit and you control it.
That's
with the,
pod racing.
With the levers. That is pod racing.
It's cool as hell. I don't want to get too derailed here, but you mentioned CC's Pizza. Do you remain a CC's Pizza fan? I can't imagine there are any in New York.
There aren't any in New York, but I do. I think I still have the phone number of my CC's Pizza on my phone, and I refuse to delete it. Like, I loved it. It was just like the place that we would always get pizza for like school or anything. So I have a real fondness for it.
It's like a buffet, right? Yeah. I've never been to one.
Yeah, it's a buffet. And I would like go, I would sit. I also like, I didn't have any game systems or cable when I was growing up. So I would like go to CC's Pizza. I'd get like a ton of pizza slices. I'd sit. There's like a big screen where Cartoon Network was always playing. And I was like, this is what being a kid is like.
Yeah. You're sitting there and you're like, wow, I'm such a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to, did I maybe have CC's Pizza once in Washington State or something? Because I remember going to a CC's like place, but I'm not sure if it was exactly that. But I did not know it had arcade cabinets in it, because that's the thing I remember from our Round Table Pizza. That was like, one reason I love that place is you could go there and like, they'd have like a X-Men arcade game.
Yeah, it was very minimal. Like ours had a racing game, probably like a claw machine, and I think a claw-like game, but that had candy instead or something like that. Like super, like nothing there basically. but it's good times.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Any other thoughts on driving games? I know it's just such a vast thing to cover, and I know we can't possibly get to anything. But like, is anything else anyone wants to shout out, or like I guess maybe if I have a question to maybe direct things, it's like whatever your level of enthusiasm towards driving in video games or IRL is, like, what makes a good one? Like, what makes you like stick with some and bounce off of others?
I don't know, Marika. I mean, I feel like my exposure to a lot of driving games is just through watching stuff on YouTube, and I feel like the ones that I really enjoy, like, there are a lot of those, like, open world driving games, like Fuel is one that's technically a racing game, but, like, is huge. And I think, like, those, at least from, like, a watching perspective, you have to be really committed to just, like, sitting looking at a car go through a desert or something for like hours. But I don't know, things like GTA 5 for sure. There's like, I feel like there's some arcade racers that have that Mario Kart-y element where like you can make the track explode. There's one called, I don't know what year it is, but there's one called Split Second. Have you heard of that one at all? That's like,
I'm not familiar.
You can, it's like an arcade racer, but you can like call airstrikes and like,
oh wow,
make like train tracks explode on the track to try and just like destroy other cars.
That sounds great.
And that, like, those kinds of things I think are really entertaining. Those are like a lot more fun to watch just because of the chaos. And then I don't know if it would technically count as a racing game, but I think like the Trials series, like Trials Evolution, Trials HD and all of those, they're like the motorcycle, like you can technically race like, people. But I think like the fact that you can do those and like reset because it's an obstacle course, like
right.
That becomes really interesting. The obstacle course and also being a race.
I've watched videos of this. Of this being played, and just like the physics of it are really like impressive, and I understand why people want to like just keep playing the same course over and over.
Yeah,
you know,
I think it was also like a big, like there were like a lot of achievements you could get back in the day with those.
I mean, speaking of physics, that's honestly what I pay attention to the most, specifically in like the sim games, you know, more sim, less arcade. The closer you get to the car feeling real, the more subtle like your movements need to be. Like if I give the gas a little too much going out of a turn, I could easily like spin out or like oversteer or understeer. So when I'm like looking for like a sim game, it's like it really comes down to like the physics. Like the graphics don't even need to be that great. Do I feel the weight of the car that I'm driving? And if I do, then I feel like it's a better kind of game. But honestly, any game that has a driving mechanic in it, I get hyped about, and I'm excited to drive whatever I'm allowed to drive in any kind of game. Also, if you guys are interested, there is a place in Pasadena called World of Racing, and it is sim racing only. It's like a bunch of simulation cockpits that would like motion. But it is like real driving simulation.
I was gonna say there's also, I don't know, Weiger, if this like is enough of an arcadey situation for you, but like there's now popping up around the world these F1 arcades you can sit in those like sim rigs and play in an, like you just like buy some races, you can like go with friends and play against each other. And I went to one in London. I think there's one opening in Boston this year, and I was really bad. I raced by myself and I did not do well, but it was a lot of fun. And it's like fun, it has like the feedback of the chair like the wheel that Casey's talking about, where you can like you have to like really grip it and all that kind of stuff. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm looking at the site now. This is like an officially branded thing. It looks really snazzy. Where my mind, how my mind operates, I immediately clicked on food menus.
It was like the one in London was way too fancy for what I was expecting. They had Aesop soap in the bathroom. I can't stop talking about that. Like, it looked like a real, like, a nice, classy establishment.
Wow.
But with, like, 40-some rigs.
The sharing plates has a 28-day aged Himalayan salt dried flat iron steak. I'm like, all right, give me some sliders and some chicken fingers. Yeah. Calm down.
I'm looking for a nugget, dog.
Yeah.
A big thing that I want to mention also Formula One does is they have like their own esports league. Like every team has the sim racing version of the team, and they will often like compete at the races that the real life drivers are driving at. So F1 is like really on board with sim racing and integrating it into the world of motorsport. It's great.
And I don't think we really talked about it, but like all of the teams have reserve drivers that bank hours on these like sim rigs to help the team like learn more about the car and the track and everything, which is super, like their job is just to play games for the team.
Dream job.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think if I go to the sim rig place, I'm gonna need somebody to drive me there and drive me back, because I think the most dangerous thing for me would be getting in a car after doing that. Anytime I like when I left Mad Max Fury Road, I was like, this is gonna be a disaster.
You suddenly had the guitar that's shooting
planes. I became the gimp guy.
Man, the movie rocks.
Oh yeah, so good.
Did you play the game?
The game is good.
The game was good, yeah.
It has that similar crunchy combat to like a Arkham or those Lord of the Rings games. Really, really good. I loved it a lot. And good driving in it, actually, too. Casey's point about the weight is the big thing, because the weight wasn't there in the Arkham Knight Batmobile. Mm. The weight wasn't there in Cyberpunk 1.0.
Right.
They got closer in 2.0. But if I can't feel the like those tires screeching the way I want, it's off. The whole thing's if it just kind of feels like it's floating there, just sort of like moving, like you're like playing with a toy car above the ground, kind of, that's not it. That's just it just never feels good. But if you can feel the weight, that's all you need, baby.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I'll add to that is, and I think this probably goes without saying, but I'll say it anyway, but it's the genre where frame rate is premium. And, you know, like you'll see a lot of games, especially in the current generation, that are sacrificing frame rate for graphical fidelity. So these things can run on 4K TVs, which I get. But man, racing games gotta be just, you know, locked in at 60 FPS or 120 FPS, you know, whatever the platform is. I mean, just it's really that's key, I think, to having the sense of speed. All right, I got a segment for us.
Ooh,
it's time for our video game version of Would You Rather. This is Would You Blathers. So how Would You Blathers works is, named in honor of the Animal Crossing owl, I will give you a video game related scenario and you can each chime in on which one you'd prefer. And today, these are all related to driving in video games.
Oh.
So this is a driving game edition of Would You Blathers. All right. Does everyone understand the format?
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Okay, great. First up, Would You Blathers haul an 18-wheeler cross-country like an American truck simulator, or manage a busy gas station like in Gas Station Simulator?
I think I would rather manage a busy gas station. I haven't seen any of that simulator, but I've seen the American truck simulator, and I think I would immediately stall out the car and not be able to get back anywhere.
I'm 100% with you. You know, both very dangerous jobs, you know, more dangerous than being a cop. And so 100%. Like I would rather, but still, all that said, I think I would rather be the gas station manager. I feel like I could handle that a little bit better.
I think, do I get to pick like the snacks, the offerings? Like, am I?
Yeah, of course. It's, you're all in, whatever you want to do.
This wasn't.
But you also get to pick your. You get to pick your snacks if you're on the road as well.
Oh, okay, now that's interesting to think about.
You're stopping at a Buc-ee's. What are you going to load up on?
I don't know if I have, because like I don't mind driving, right? But I don't know if I could sit in the cabin of a car for like 18 hours. I can't. I don't have the patience for it. And I do think that people that do those jobs are absolute heroes. Like it's such a slog.
If we have any truckers out there, listen to the pod. Thank you for your service.
And give me two toots on that horn real quick, why don't you?
Yeah, honestly, I think I'm going to go the trucker route.
Wow.
I've thought
you
about
do have
it
trucker
before.
Energy. You really do have trucker energy.
This is, yeah.
I get it. If you're okay being like alone for long stretches and you don't mind driving, like it does feel like a cool job.
Yeah.
I used to share an office when I worked in the video game industry, with a very talented designer, and his dad was a trucker, and he would say like he'd be on road trips with his dad. And his dad would just like pull over to the side of the road and be like, all right, time to go to sleep, and just lean his like the driver's seat back and go to sleep like in their truck. And it's just like that's a thing that was totally foreign to him. But I guess you just learn how to do that if that's your job.
Man, I wish I could do that now.
Whenever I would go on a road trip with my mom, it was like she wouldn't pull over on the side of the road, but she would just be like, we're going to power through and I'm going to sleep for an hour and then we're going to get back on the road.
I would do it on the freeway, just driving from where I live to Santa Monica. Just be like, use a little nap real quick.
All right. Next up. Would you blathers work as a taxi driver and only be able to listen to Bad Religion and The Offspring, like in Crazy Taxi, or only be able to listen to synth rock covers of the Simpsons soundtrack, like in The Simpsons Road Rage?
Wow, that's hard. Does that include the Bartman, but synth rock?
I think so. Yeah, I think you got to assume Bartman's in there. I don't know if it's actually on the soundtrack, but maybe in the credits.
Look, I'm a SoCal kid. I grew up hearing Bad Religion and The Offspring on K-Rock my whole life. I'm going The Simpsons. I'm done. I'm done with those songs.
Who are K-Rock DJs? You like Jed the Fish?
I like Jed the Fish. I was a big Cat Corbett fan, actually.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I loved... Kevin and Bean were such institutions when they were on the air, and when they were.
No, I'd listen to Kevin Bean every morning.
Yeah. But I feel like I liked Kat Corbett's show because she would play like local bands, like local new bands, too. I liked that a lot. So probably Kat Corbett's I'm a Kat Corbett stan. How many times can I say Kat Corbett, you think?
I don't know. Keep going. Casey, how about you?
I gotta go taxi route. Look, I grew up also listening to Offspring and Bad Religion, a lot in the Tony Hawk soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing makes me feel more alive than hearing some Bad Religion. I could get the fares there quicker, which I don't think is what I want as a taxi driver, but maybe it'll mean better tips.
Hmm.
I think I would also go with Bad Religion and The Offspring. As much as I love the music of The Simpsons, I don't love it being synth rock. I think that would drive me crazy.
All right, next up. Would you blathers compete in illegal street racing like in Need for Speed Underground, or compete in a driving version of soccer on an oversized field like in Rocket League? I'll answer this one. I'd rather do Rocket League just for the novelty of it. But kicking around a big old soccer ball with a truck feels like fun.
I don't even remember what the first option was. I want to do Rocket League. I remember when Rocket League was brand new. I was like, this is the most genius thing I've ever seen in my life. This is such a good idea.
Have you guys played Rocket Racer? They're like new
on,
racing
on Fortnite. Yeah, yeah.
No, I have not.
It's Nick. We're going to have to talk about it soon. It's okay. It's fucking great.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer to do the Rocket League version. Illegal street racing. Look, I love to drive my car fast, but I don't street race because I don't trust anybody else on the road.
Right? Yeah.
Even Lewis Hamilton will tell you that he hates driving on regular roads. People don't know what they're doing. But if I could get in a car and bump a big ball around and do flips and I get to put like a hat on top of my car, I'm all for it.
I think you could do that in real life if you really wanted.
Marika, you on Rocket League?
Yeah. For all the same reasons.
It's like, it just seems so... imagine... this was like the easiest one. Would you rather do something that you could already kind of do, or would you rather do the absolute impossible, the greatest thing man could try to attempt?
I think the case for Need for Speed Underground is it's very cool.
Like, it is really
like,
cool.
Yeah.
And then also that there's a chance that Rocket League in real life is extremely dangerous.
There's a chance, sure.
Yeah.
All right, next up. Would you blathers be a crazed clown with a flaming head driving in an ice cream truck like Sweet Tooth in Twisted Metal, or be a steroid-ridden muscle man with no car frame and two giant wheels attached to your limbs like Axel in Twisted Metal?
I'm going Axel all the way.
Axel's so cool, yeah.
I gotta
like
know
Sweet
Tooth,
but like. Axel's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to go same.
I think I'm going to go Sweet Tooth. I think
Sweet Tooth's cool. It's a good choice.
He's cool, and but I'm a big ice cream guy too. I'm a cone freak. I love a good cone.
Matt, that's a great point.
Yeah, so I already got my stuff. I'll get high on my own supply. That's fine.
All right, final would you blathers. Would you blathers be a cat-like entity who can morph into a passenger van like Morgana in Persona 5, or be a sentient car like Lightning McQueen in the Cars video game? However, because it's the video game, you are not voiced by Owen Wilson.
Can I ask about this Persona 5 character? Does she actually turn into a car in the game, or is it she just has like the power to turn into things?
Morgana does turn into a car. I wonder if I can find a video of it. First off, I'll share the art with you so you can get a sense of the character design because he is a real cutie pie. Okay, here's what Morgana in Persona 5 looks like. See this little chibi cat with the big head.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let me see if I can find a video of the transformation, because the first time it happened for me in the game, it broke my brain.
Yeah, this could make or break.
I know it's an anime trope, but it was surprising. Was I Casey?
This could make or break it for me. The transformation and what I choose.
Yeah. Matt, you got that far into Persona 5. I know.
Oh yeah, I mean I did. I got like I played that game for like 60 hours, and I didn't even come close to finishing it.
No, it's a big
no. But I do have a fondness for Morgana, and I do. I wish I had finished it. I could go back, I guess. But I did like. I bought it on Switch after playing it on Game Pass. I was like, I'll just pick it up again on Switch. And I was like, what am I doing? I can't do this again. But maybe
it's
I
one
need
of those
some
things
distance.
It's a daunting commitment, but I love that game.
Yeah.
All right, let's watch this. I think it's right at the top of this video.
Morgana, transform!
That one for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
What's
going
the point,
with Morgana?
What's the point of being Lightning McQueen even if you can't even be Owen Wilson?
Yeah, can I say Ka-chow?
Yeah,
down the line.
Am I even allowed to do
know.
That?
You might not have the rights for Ka-chow.
Yeah.
That was with you, Blathers. That's this week Get Played. Our producer is Rochelle Chen, yard__sard on social media. Our music is by Ben Prunty, benpruntymusic.com. Our art is by Duck Brigade Design, duckbrigade.com. Also, check out our paywall, patreon.com/getplayed, where we have our pre-HeadGum back catalog, as well as our paywalled show, Get Animated, Matt, where we're deep into Pluto.
That's right. This week, we're taking a break from Pluto, and we'll be answering some of your questions that we've had backlogged over, the last month or so of just questions and comments pertaining to some of the things we watched before we started Pluto. But then next week, we'll be on to episode 5, and oh boy, is all I'll say is oh boy.
Oh boy, indeed. Check that out. patreon.com/getplayed. Our guest today, Marika Brownlee, Casey Donahue. The podcast is The Pit Wall, an F1 podcast. Tell us about the pod and anything else you want to plug. And thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks for having us, guys. The Pit Wall, as you said, it's a pod, Formula One. I screw this up on every single episode. Really, it's a Formula One podcast for casual fans. Sometimes I say it's a casual podcast for Formula One fans.
It could be both.
Also works.
If you're interested in Formula One, want to get into it, we talk about Drive to Survive, the Netflix show. The new season is coming out next month. That was my entry to it. That's a lot of American entry point for F1. So if you're interested, you could check it out. Tune in. We'll talk about it. And we love it. We love talking about it.
The season hasn't started yet, We're not releasing episodes until Drive to Survive starts, which I think it was announced February 23rd. But we have like a back catalog of previous season. We talked about some movies like Gran Turismo. Mm-hmm.
We recently talked about Ferrari Action Boys.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, that's a movie. We were talking about street racing, a movie centered on an insane street race they don't do anymore, but like you're thinking about it and just like it's like they're driving for a 1,000-mile race, however long it is, and it's just through the Italian countryside. Mm-hmm. So they're just driving by
houses,
like,
and
civilians
stuff, yeah.
And yeah, it's crazy. People should check out The Pit Wall, and thank y'all so much for being here.
Thanks.
That's this episode. Matt, I guess now's the time we have to tell our lovely guests that they got played.
Yeah, I didn't want to do this. We were having so much fun. And
Very nice conversation.
Yeah, great guests.
Very generous with their time.
Yeah, thank you so much. But you guys did get played, and I'm very sorry.
I can't believe this. I can't believe all this was to get played.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.